Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063, the game and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live, breaking down the Titans' horrendous, awful, sloppy, bad all the way around 27-3 loss to the Cleveland Browns on the road yesterday. We just heard from Mike Vrabel at the podium, and there was one thing that I heard that made my head go, whoop, all right. So many times when we hear coaches, it is coaches taking the blame for a loss and coaches giving the credit to the players in a win. That's what we always hear, no matter what level it is. High school, college, NFL, CFL, European Football League, whatever it is. Coach takes the blame and the coach gives the players all of the praise in a win. Mike Vrabel was asked about that final Amari Cooper touchdown. I think I said it was an Elijah Moore touchdown. So if I did, my mistake. It was that final Amari Cooper touchdown where he just walked into the end zone and Imani Hooker and Christian Fulton were looking at each other like, oh, I don't know what I was supposed to do. Mike Vrabel said Christian was supposed to cover the guy. I mean, that's Mike Vrabel pretty much throwing Christian Fulton under the bus.
What?
And if it was on Christian Fulton, then it's on Christian Fulton. But Mike Vrabel will call guys out very infrequently, but he did it last year when he talked about the soft tissue injuries, when he talked about David Long Jr., called out Christian Fulton as well as repeat offenders. I don't take it lightly when Mike Vrabel very obviously and very clearly points the finger at a player and calls them out by name, and he did that with Christian Fulton.
Well, remember, too, what has happened. Already, he's been dealing with the hamstrings. Already missed a game. He's back. And how much is that weighing on him during the game? I don't know. But he looks a little bit lost right now. He's not playing fast enough. He's not playing loose where you're not thinking. And so, as you were saying, D-Mace, what do you do if you're the coach? Do you take him out? How do you try? Because who do you have? At the end of the day, you're not replacing him with a more talented player. He's the most talented corner that they have. So you got to get down to it. Are you bothered by the hamstring? If so, you may not like it, but let's take it back for another week or two until you feel strong out there. If you're nursing it, but there's too many things going on out there. It's very frustrating. But so how would you handle it? Where do you go from here? Because he was clearly a guy that let's be honest. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that they didn't feel good about the matchup with. They were spraying the ball around to different people. This is not Rice on one side and John Taylor on the other side and Dwight Clark and guys like, I mean, this is not a huge feared wide receiver group, yet they were winning matchups all over the field. So it's not just Fulton.
No, it's not just Fulton. It's everybody. That whole secondary, again, you know, with the defensive line that the Titans have, you shouldn't be giving up the plays that you're giving up in the back end. The lack of communication that is going on from a team, from two safeties that have been together for at least 3 years, that whole secondary as the secondary as a whole been together at least two seasons. So what is it about a Shane Bowen defense that you're getting confused about?
And it's a Shane Bowen defense that you've been in for the last 3 or 4 seasons?
Exactly. So what is it that you're – because these calls are routine calls. Like, you should know them. Now, the minute I say something, you should know exactly what you're doing. There shouldn't be a miscommunication on whether we're playing zone or man. Again, it's either Chris Harris, who's the defensive back coach and the defensive pass coordinator, either you're allowing it to happen or you're coaching what's going on. Maybe who's behind them where you can't, like you want to bench the guy, but you can't because you don't have the depth behind you. Once again, that word, depth. The Titans do not have, and this has been a reoccurring problem with them for the last two seasons. And now again, it's rearing its ugly head because a guy that is not playing well, they can't just bench him because they have nobody else to put in.
Crazy Billy is on the line. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Crazy Billy?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. D-Mace, as always, and y'all's show is over the top. I kind of like what Coach Vrabel did right there before the second half. He went for it. I don't know if the 3 points have made any difference, but it is a good point. But, D-Mace, have you ever been out there where you're running a route like that and you're just sprinting down 40 yards and you look back and you see your quarterback continue to get pummeled within 2 or 3 seconds. I mean, after you've just given it your all to get away from people. And as far as our Christian Fulton, that was the most pitiful excuse. Two safeties and him, and he's Amani Cooper split him, a guy that catches the ball. Oh, my. Anyways, I'll get off. Love y'all show. Go Titans. I hope we can do better this weekend.
Thanks, Crazy Billy.
You know, yeah, fortunately, I haven't been a part of many of those because, you know, offensive lines that I played with, they've been pretty good. You know, and only time that they haven't been is because of injury. It's not like we lined up five guys, our five starters, and we're horrible. No. It's usually because of injury. But it after a while, if it happens consistently in a game, you get demoralized a little bit. And that's when you sort of, you know, walk over to the offensive coordinator or quarterback, say, listen, we got to go to quick game now. We can't, as much as we want to run down the field and catch 30 and 40 yarders, we just got to get some rhythm going now. And typically, offensive coordinators can feel that. Okay, we're going to change it a little bit. We're going to go a little bit quick game, everybody, just to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands because it doesn't have much time to throw back there. So we go to quick game, and hopefully the quarterback can get a little rhythm. But it even looked like in a quick game that they were in the backfield just as fast as a receiver was trying to run a hitch or slant. So it can be frustrating. It gets frustrating to the defense. It's frustrating for the quarterback. And, you know, it's frustrating for the offensive line, too. But y'all are the ones that are, you know, allowing this to happen. I'm not going to say allowing it to happen because they want to go out there and want to get their all. They're just not physically good enough to go against some of these defensive line they're going to have to go against. It's going to have to be all scheme. It can't be skill because these guys up front, they're good players, but they're not good enough to be starters.
And that falls on Mike Vrabel, ultimately. And that's what I talked about last week is, look, this offense is not good enough to beat the Cleveland Browns defense. I don't know how many offenses in the National Football League are. Maybe the Dolphins, and that's about it. So it's about scheme. It's about outsmarting the defense. Didn't see that. We didn't see that on Sunday, and ultimately it proved to be costly.
But if you can't block the front, It makes it very tough. I don't know what plays you would have called yesterday, to be honest with you. They just couldn't block them. They could not block them. Now, is it strictly talent every time? I did see times where I thought I saw a little confusion on who was supposed to block who. Like, I'm trying to be fair, but this is what we all feared, right? That no matter what you want to call, you simply, it's hard to run it if you just cannot physically block the other team. Now, that's a really good front. Mm-hmm. That's the question going forward is, how much better would it be in the weeks to come when maybe you're not facing a ferocious front four?
Straight to your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, the game in the game, Nashville app. Hey, tune into 93.3 Classic Hits this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6:30 p.m. on the road against rival Western Kentucky. Pregame beginning at 5:30 p.m. You can hear all the coverage on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. It is your day. It is a Titans Reaction Monday, so we are right to your phones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coy in Clarksville, Texan, says, at training camp, we said that this defense was elite. We are average at best. They were going against an atrocious Titans offense. I don't know if Coy in Clarksville is talking about the Titans defense being elite or the Browns defense being elite, but I still think that this Titans defensive line has what it takes to be elite. Now, Arden Key and Jeffrey Simmons should not have missed that sack yesterday in the Browns' first possession. That was bad. That was bad, bad, bad. But overall, I think the biggest thing that hurt the Titans' defense were the penalties.
Well, if you try to assess where they are right now, they're 1-2. They've played two extremely tight games that could have gone either way. This one going in, I think we all believe would be the same type of game. And it went worst case scenario. The snowball ran down the hill. And in the final 5 minutes of the first half and the first 5 minutes of the second half, it was over. It just, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. So you assess going forward. We thought going into the season, this is going to have to be an excellent defense and an average offense to get the results that you're looking for. And I think there's cause for concern on both fronts, right? And they're hardly the only team that is trying to figure out all this stuff after three games. But I do think you're willing to say, look, you're going to have a bad game here and there. But was this a little bit of a blip? And can you get back to building next week? Not going to be easy. You're facing the Bengals, but you are back at home. But I think this Sunday's game is going to be huge to see which direction they're going, because they've got to recover, because that was the worst version of themselves there. Not a dominant defense and an offense that couldn't run anything because they couldn't block anybody.
Yeah, this defense, I think we need to reclassify what this defense is, meaning the Tennessee Titans defense is, because I think when we say – This is a dominant defense, because we said that's what we said at the beginning of the season. But we were not talking about the defense as a whole. We were talking about the defensive line. So we got to – when we speak about this defense, we need to speak of it in terms of this defensive line has the potential to be a top five defensive line. That secondary, I don't know what they are. It's not even a matter of fact. I had it as a question mark at the beginning of the season because I was worried about the corners and I was worried about the aging safety, even though I believe Kevin Byard is a good safety still, but he's not who he once was. And it happens to everybody. It's, other than Tom Brady and maybe Jerry Rice, it happens to everybody where you start to decline eventually. And those two guys, well, Jerry more than Tom, he started to decline a little bit. But this secondary, there's no longer a question mark with this secondary. But at least for me, there's no longer a question mark.
They are what they are and they're bad.
They are, like Denny Green said, they are who we thought they were. They're bad.
Bad.
Defensive line is good.
Good.
Secondary's bad. You can't have a Ferrari with a good body and bad tires. You ain't going fast, or you ain't going nowhere too far anyway. That's what the Titans are. They got this body that looks good, the defensive line, but that secondary, which is those four tires, they're not helping you out one bit. It's a lot of tread on those tires. You need some new tires, and you need them fast.
Mm-hmm. Along those lines, what are you seeing with Kevin Byard? Because this is a key guy, because when you're evaluating the secondary, what you're hoping for is, look, you've got the stable, steady veteran back there. But he is getting to the stage of his career where at some point he's going to start aging. What are you seeing early in the season?
He's just it's off just a little bit with him. It's off. And now you hope that, you know, you can find some you can find something that kind of gets you back to, you know, that point. But what I know about this league is that you're going to get old and you're going to lose a step. That's just what happens to everybody. Byard, I believe, has lost a half a step. That step that he has had for a long period of time where, you know, if he's sort of out of position because his quickness in his then he'll get there eventually, even though he knows the game. Now he has to rely more on him knowing the game than his reaction.
But I can't put anything yesterday.
No, I don't put Byard. I don't put it on Byard, but what I'm saying is they're losing. Like, the corners are not good. I think McCrary is solid. He's a solid starter. But the other two or three, they're not good. You can't convince me that they are, because they're not. It hurts a guy like Kevin Byard, who has lost a half a step. Now he really has to make sure everybody is communicating. And when you're not communicating, mm-hmm. you're going to continue to see what you saw last night. You're going to see what you saw against the Saints. You're going to see what you saw against the Chargers. A guy running behind the defensive back and a defensive back looking at the safety and the safety looking at the defensive back. Like, what's going on? The minute I look at you and you look at me, if I'm somebody from the outside looking in, I'm saying, oh, there was a miscommunication.
Seven-point mistake. Miscommunication.
And that's what's happening. Byard's ability to play the game is no longer helping those other three because they're not holding their weight. He can only do so much. And as he's aging, he's relying more on his knowledge and the corners to know their job. And when they are hesitant, miscommunication, they don't know their job, no matter what he does in the back end, you're going to end up seeing what you saw this past weekend. Mm-hmm. 7 points, big play after big play after big play.
Another texter says, I'm not sure that we saw the old Deshaun Watson or if the Titans defense just played so poorly yesterday that a lousy Deshaun Watson looked that good. I don't think that we saw Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans. I think that the Titans defense committed penalties that handed first downs on a silver platter to an okay-looking Deshaun Watson.
I saw a Deshaun Watson that started gaining confidence over the course of the game that he clearly lacked. It looked heavy. Like you were saying, I think you were saying heavy mm-hmm. was a word that you were using to describe him before. I thought he had a little more pep, a little more life, mm-hmm. and maybe the Titans fueled that. I'm very curious to see where his game goes in the coming weeks for the Browns. They're one of those mystery teams that when they put their best foot forward, you're like, hey, what's going on in Cleveland? And then most years, they don't end up being a very good team. But it is an intriguing team if you have that defense, if Watson can become something close to what he was in Houston.
Well, what the Titans allow Watson to do, listen, was he great?
No.
No, he wasn't great. But what they allowed him to do is to pull back and realize that I still can play this game. That's what they allowed him to do. You know why? Because they allowed him to get comfortable in what he was doing.
Yep.
Pass here, pass there.
And early. And it early
wasn't
in
like,
the game.
Listen, it wasn't like his passes were all on point. But when you allow a quarterback to throw in the windows that he threw in and still get completions, now in my mind as a quarterback, it's like, okay, I'm feeling myself now. Now I got that mojo back. You yep. see what I'm saying?
When you're 10 for 13 – right, you get confidence, right? As opposed to if you're 5 for 13,
yeah,
early, and then all of a sudden, hey, I'm hot, I'm going, and you're feeling it, you're not thinking.
Just brutal. Short show for us today. Preds pregame for the Preds preseason game against the Panthers is coming up next. We'll have a continued breakdown of the Titans' brutal loss on Sunday coming up tomorrow at 11 a.m.